But yeah, the lost, they are dying out there without Jesus, aren't they? This world is going to hell in a handbasket. It's been like that for a long time. But there are still them Christians out there, amen, like me and you, whoever's born again, walking with the Lord here, just trusting in him, casting their cares on him, amen. Well, I just want to share this. I believe this has something to do with my message, because I really believe the Lord wants to share this, me to share this before I pray. But it doesn't make sense in my head why it has something to do with my message, but his ways are not our ways. And I just believe I'm being obedient by sharing this, so I'm just going to share it. I was down at the river yesterday just thinking on the Lord, just looking at the river, and just looking at the physical aspect of the river, what it does. It brings businesses. It's beautiful. It brings people to sit. River walks. People do great business over the Mississippi River. Just a lot of things. The bears go and they catch their fish there. It's a life source. It's a life source physically for man, for animals. It's just a life. It's just full of life. One time the Lord showed me that a dead tree falls into the river. And what does it do? Animals take parts of that dead tree and make a home for themselves. Fish have a shelter for themselves. They go down by that dead tree. You know, it says that we're to be like a mustard seed that grows up and becomes a big tree. And the birds take that stuff and plant their nest in it. And create a home. To die is gain. But rivers of living water shall flow out of our bellies if we believe on him as the scripture saith. Just keep that in mind, the spiritual river. Keep that in mind as I preach this message. I don't know why, but I just believe the Lord wanted me to say that. So, and I'm going to pray for myself, for the ear to hear. Lord God, we just pray for just an anointing on my lips, Lord. You told Moses, I made your mouth. Let me just preach the gospel, Lord, and let the ear hear, Lord, what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. Amen. Okay, I called this message the Kingdom of Heaven. No doubt Christians are part of a kingdom that has no beginning and no end. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. It says, an angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Praise God. Psalm 145. Verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Just think about that. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Before God ever said, let there be light, the kingdom of heaven was present. That's something that we can't wrap our... Eternity is in the heart of man, it says. We can't wrap our head around that. It's too great for our understanding, I believe. Praise God. In this great country, we would hate the idea of a man coming in, setting up his throne and his kingdom. The fact, though, is the day we were born again, we became part of a kingdom... Church, we don't represent our country as American citizens. We are citizens of heaven first. Before we're citizens of this great country, we are heaven citizens. Praise God. I talk to people that travel. My cousin is one of them. And they can't wait to get back to America because it's their home. They just can't wait to get back home. As much as we love the States, and I do, this is not our home. We are on kingdom business here. Let's get down to business and then go home. It's like going on a business trip. You don't really want to go, but it's for the better of the business. So you do it. And then you come back, and the business is better. It's better because of what you did. Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That word created is in there. We are created unto good works. I like that. God didn't create mulberry trees to produce apples or maple trees to produce sugarcane. And he didn't create the church to produce worldly fruit. Church, you should not smell like America, act like America, look like America. When the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," Psalm 33:12, that's saying that nation takes on the atmosphere of the kingdom of God. But Psalm 9, verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." This nation of our country is turning into hell. I mean, we're aborting baby. We're passing laws. You wouldn't think. And this is who we're electing these people into our Congress, passing laws. We got people in the House of Representatives having Muslims open in prayer, false gods. Just you name it, it's going on. Then there's the other extreme of trying to just get rid of abortion completely. And then the fight goes on for that, for that, for that. Well, that's not saving anybody either. It's saving that baby. And we are supposed to speak up for the innocent in the cause. Thank you for that. I heard that. I believe that was the Lord. But it is saving that baby. Praise God. Praise God. But the church is still in the midst of this country. Amen. That river still flowing somewhere in the back alleys. You know, as China got worse, I believe the church got stronger. Amen. I mean, man, you read that book about Brother Young out there, some things happened. They tried to tell him what to preach, what he could preach, and he got up and said, "Blasphemy, that's blasphemy. I can't do that." In front of all the high officials. But the church is still here. Amen. It's not going anywhere. Even if you die, even if I die, even if they come killing Christians, the church is not going anywhere. Amen. 1 Peter 2:11. This is the verse I asked them to put up on the screen here. "Dearly beloved, beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You know why? Because when we start not abstaining from fleshly lusts, we start to get comfortable here. And we're not strangers anymore to this land. Now we fit right in. Because all the world wants to push down your throat is fleshly lust, which war against your soul. And we so easily can give in, especially here. Because we want to eat good. We want to drink good. We want our pleasures. Amen? We want that stuff. There's nothing wrong with that stuff, in a sense. But is it enhancing the kingdom of heaven? That's what we're here for. When you go on a business trip, it's for the business. We're here to bring the kingdom of heaven, the atmosphere of God, the atmosphere of the kingdom on this earth. That's what our purpose is here. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things shall be added unto you. That is our first thing, our first desire. We were just talking about this a little bit downstairs. Casting our cares on the Lord. That's being kingdom-minded. Taking your care, what you're going through, and giving it to Him because He cares for you is going to bring forth fruit in this kingdom. But so often we don't do that. I don't. But I find reward when I do. And I say, why don't I just do this with everything? What's wrong with me? Every time I do this, it works. I don't even care anymore about my 2-bedroom. We're going to heaven. Praise God. Praise God. I'll be here another 80 years, maybe, if I'm blessed, if I'm, you know what I mean? We're going to heaven. Woo! It's exciting. I'm a stranger here. When people look at me and they're like, what is he thinking? You know, sometimes I'm embarrassed to tell my coworker, like what I'm actually thinking or doing because he's just going to look at me so strange. But he's supposed to. A stranger. We are to be walking in God-ordained works. What God ordained, we are to be walking in them. The world is going to look at that strange. Ephesians 2:10 again. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself making intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We're supposed to be praying with groanings which cannot be uttered. Tell somebody that one time. Yeah, last night in prayer when I was in my prayer with God, I was just groaning. And I didn't even know what I was talking about, but I know the Spirit was there. They're going to look at you like, what is going on? Strange. Speaking in tongues is strange. The gifts of the Spirit are strange. I was telling my coworker about when I had that, when the doctor told me I had a hernia. I was like, yeah, I had a lot of people praying for me and all this stuff. And I was just telling him, not even the whole story, because I thought he would think it would be strange. But he goes, oh, maybe the prayer worked, huh? Praise God. Let's be strangers. Because it's just what we are. Let's not try to fit in the American way. Philippians verse 1, 23 through 26. If you could put this one up too. Sorry about that. I think this is a... Paul's speaking here, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul wanted to go home to his husband, king, his everything. But it was better for the kingdom that he stayed. It was better for the kingdom of heaven in a whole picture that he stayed. We must be a kingdom-minded people. John the Baptist and Jesus both preach kingdom. Kingdom, kingdom. Matthew 3, verse 2. I'm going to read verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, when I was a young Christian, so often I would want people to repent and try to scare them. And I know it's necessary and say, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Get out of what you're doing, and you're going to hell. And hell is a just thing. It's of God. It's we're supposed to think on it. But so often, I think they need to hear the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That there's a greater life for you than what you're living. The kingdom of heaven. That never ends, never began. It was just there. It's at hand. It's near you. Repent. Believe the gospel. Believe that. Believe it. And there are those people that need to hear you're going to hell. You're going to burn for all of eternity. It's a reality. We're not just trying to scare them. It's a reality. If you walk off that cliff on that mountaintop there, you're going to fall a couple thousand feet. It's a reality. Don't do it. Mark 1, verse 5, Jesus himself, praise God. It's not Mark 1, verse 5. That's for sure. Yeah, Mark 1, verse 15. I missed that one. And saying that the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The time is fulfilled, church. The harvest is white. The harvest is ready. It's harvest time. Get the farmer's going out there. And he's working day and night to get that corn out before that snow comes, before that rain comes. His eyes are heavy. He's tired. But he's going to get up one more day. There's nothing left in him. But that money's calling him to get that corn out. It's this many dollars a bushel. Let's get it. Let's go get it before that snow comes, or else we're out of money. We're not feeding our family next year. It's harvest time. Let's go out there. Let's work in that field day and night because it's harvest time. There's something greater driving you to do what you're doing. If you're just out there doing it, like Bob was saying, if you're just out there doing it, it's not going to produce fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Even though Paul said, praise God, that they're out there preaching. So I should take that back. Paul said, praise God that they're out there preaching. But for us, Christians, we got to be doing it because of the love of God. We're seeking first his kingdom. Not just because we don't want to go to hell. It says if we love him, we will obey him. Not if you don't want to go to hell, you'll obey me. It doesn't say that. It says if you love me, you'll obey me. If we didn't have the example of these mighty saints, all we would pray would be, Lord, take me home. That's all, that would be our only desire. Which is great. I want to go home. I want to go to heaven. Montana's great. You ever seen it? You ever been there? It's beautiful. Heaven's going to blow it out of the water. There's going to be nothing like heaven. I was just... My coworker was off for a week, and he said, did you miss, he calls me Donski, because I'm Polish, you know, and he's like, did you miss me, and the job is nuts, but anyways, he's like, did you miss hearing Donski? I was like, I was too busy to miss hearing Donski, all right? People say, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to miss this, I'm going to miss that, I'm going to miss this. You're going to be too busy to be missing this, that, and this. When you get to heaven, you're going to be judging. You're going to be doing things. Thy kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. You're going to be too busy. You're missing your husband, or whatever it is. You're going to be just saturated in the grace of God, staring at Jesus, not thinking about anything else. It's going to be awesome. Praise God. But church, the war wages on. It rages on. Satan's after our marriages, our children, our communities, our church, and most importantly, our own faith. Pastor preached not too long ago to establish a beachhead. A home base here in Muskego, in Waukesha County. In the great prayer we are taught to pray, thy kingdom come. Everything involved in it. Come. There is not one selfish prayer in this kingdom. Let that sink in. John verses 12 through 27 and 28. Look how this unfolds. Now is my soul troubled, Jesus, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. I'm between two. I want to go with you, but it's better that I stay. Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour. You see the unity in the Spirit? Father, this is the prayer of Jesus. Glorify thy name. Verse 28, then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. I glorified it when I split the Red Sea from Moses. When there was no way. Pharaoh's army behind him, Red Sea in front of you. Clint Denny, I love it. Clint Denon said, God, don't do something now. There ain't going to be a living Jew in the morning. I glorified my name in that. And I'm going to glorify it again when I crush my son, when I bruise my son, I will be glorified. When the think about it, when the servant of servants, you know what's so different about a worldly king? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, or else my soldiers would fight. But you know what else is so different about a Caesar or any of them guys? Is that they'll tell you what to do while they're sitting on their throne. But this king came and did it all. And he said, do what I did. Take up your cross. Follow me. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. Christ did it all. And then he said, do what I do. Do what I did. And you know what? I'm going to give you Christ in you to do it for you. Just surrender. And I'll do it. I'll raise up. Spring up, oh well, inside my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. You can't do it. Without me, you can do nothing. Jesus said, I'll provide the salvation, and I'll provide the grace. I'll provide the means. Just surrender and pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When you pray, Second Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. And every church, I was so, when I got saved, man, I had so many images running through my head of things I've been doing since I've been 12, 10 years old. Casting down imaginations is a real thing. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm not there. Every thought. You know how many thoughts I had last week? Every thought. Satan desires us back. His whole reason for living is to get you and me back. And he's not taking shortcuts. He's doing what he knows to do. Ever since Adam and Eve, ever since Cain and Abel, God went to Cain himself, talked to him man to man, and Cain still did what he did. We are a threat to him. Our children are a threat to him. Psalm 127, 3 verse 5. 3 through 5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Praise God. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Our children are a threat to him. Praise God. Our marriage is a threat to him. Proverbs 31, verses 10 and 12. Who can find a virtuous woman for her prices far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Praise God. A marriage that can be trusted together. A marriage where the guy's not complaining about his wife. You know how much you hear that in the factory? And then there was a Christian in the factory. And the guy said his wife was the best thing that ever happened to him. That's strange. Praise God. Praise God. Men, love. Lay down that life. Lay down that life. And that kingdom will come. That's what Jesus wants for your marriage, you to lay down that life. Me, I'm talking to myself. That's the command. Woman, respect. Reverence your husband. Respect him. That's what God wants. That's what God desires. And you will be. It says there are four things that are too wonderful for me. And one of them is a man and a maid. A man and his wife. The other one is an eagle flying through the sky. You go up to Eagle River, everybody will say, you saw the eagle. The eagle's nest is over there. Everybody knows where the eagles, what the eagles are doing. Why? Because it's just a wonderful sight to see that great eagle flying through that sky. That's what God wants for our marriage. And the devil don't. The devil wants you to disrespect your husband. The devil wants you to complain about your wife, talk about her, all these other things. He wants your marriage in ruins. Look what society has become in the last 20 years with marriages. Divorce is high in the church in this country. The devil ain't playing with us. But a healthy, strong marriage is a threat to his kingdom. Raising your children up in the way they should go is a threat to his kingdom. They're like arrows pointing at the enemy. You're going deer hunting, you want a sharp arrow. You want an arrow to go right through that heart so it'll kill. Let's just be real. It'll kill. Our good works, Proverbs 10:16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. Our good works, preaching the gospel, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those in prison, fasting, spanking our kids. Our good works are a threat to his kingdom. They say money makes the world go round. Sure. I say grace makes the kingdom of heaven go round. Church, God gives grace to the humble. You and me want to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You want to do all these things the Bible talks about? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. I remember the one time we were all talking in Montana about something, and we were all just sharing one another's burdens. Jeremy said, when things get rough, sometimes in the family, I gather the family together and we all pray. It's like, why didn't I think of that? Like, really? Humble yourself. Pray to God. Talk to him. He loves you. He loves you. So much. And he sent his only son. And then The better part is he didn't just stay in the grave. He rose on the third day, just like he said. Just like he said. And today he lives. Just like he said, he sits on the right hand of the Father in at home. In heaven at home. Our very citizenship. Our King sits on the right hand of the Father. Praise God. Jesus dropped great drops of blood and anguish before he became the one offering for sin. Proverbs 15:33 says, let me just read it. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Jesus had to be humiliated in front of everybody. They punched him in the mouth and said, prophesy, who punched you? He could have did it. But he turned the other cheek. That's powerful. He said, Peter, put down your sword. Those that live by the sword die by the sword. And then he healed the guy's ear. That's powerful. He could have sent legions of angels to stop people spitting in his face, but he didn't. He had the power to stop it, but he didn't. That's powerful. Before honor is humility. He had to be humiliated on that cross, be crucified, shed that blood to be honored and risen again. This kingdom will always be from before ever the earth was till forever. It's not about the streets of gold, our mansion, even though those things are awesome. It's about being from now to everlasting, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's a certain bunch of Christians out there preaching this kingdom theology, whatever they say about money, money, money. This, you know, the kingdom of heaven is within. It's within. It's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost will utter things that cannot be comprehended by man. Once you're in the presence of God, the groanings are real. Colossians 1:13. We're not fighting against the American way, church. We're not fighting against the Democratic Party. We're not fighting against the Republican Party. We're not fighting against politics. This is what we're fighting against. Colossians 1:13. My wife suggested I get bookmarks, and I didn't listen to her. So, yeah. I said, I'm fine. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? We're fighting against that kingdom of darkness. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Thy kingdom come. It gets better, church. It gets better. Luke 12, 32 through 34. I shouldn't say one scripture is better than the other, but I just did. Luke 12, 32 through 34 says this, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, the treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Be also. I say again, Father, glorify your name. If you need to just talk to the Lord, these altars are open. But I just say, glorify your name. That's the prayer of the righteous. Praise God.